I'm Jeff Booth, and this is Sex Science Sunday here on The Jeff Booth Show, brought to you by the Center for Sexual Expression and Education. America is collapsing because we ignore science in this country. We have ignored science, and it's getting worse, not better. Our science literacy in this country is literally killing us as we watch. But actual science continues to proceed apace, both here and around the world. And here's a story that's pretty interesting. A Brazilian man who was infected with the AIDS virus has shown no sign of it for more than a year since he stopped HIV medicines. And this is due to an intense experimental drug therapy that is designed to purge the hidden dormant virus from the body. These are kind of exciting results, but just kinda, and here's why. According to AIDS specialist Dr. Monica Gandhi, and she works out of the University of California, San Francisco, and she says, these are exciting findings, but they're very preliminary. This has happened to one person and one person only. Didn't succeed in four others given the same treatment. So if you got a 1 out of 4 positive result, well, that's interesting. It's not conclusive. You have to look back and look at why it failed with the others and why you succeeded with one person, and if the data even shows that what you think happened actually happened. So it's interesting, but it's not a cure. He would not be the first person to be quote-unquote cured of AIDS. That actually has happened before. But he'd be the first one who was cured with AIDS without a bone marrow or stem cell transplant. And if it proves out, it's really, really good news. But HIV is really tricky. It's difficult, because you need to completely eliminate it from the body, and that's a hard thing to do, because HIV establishes an early reservoir of blood cells, and it lies dormant in those cells, and you can't attack it with medicines or the immune system. So what they're really looking for is something that can completely inactivate HIV in the body. In terms of being sexually progressive, Canada is in another universe compared to us. They have legal swing clubs, mandated as legal by their Supreme Court. And here's a recommendation from the Canadian CDC that would never be made here in the United States, and especially not by the very, very conservative, politicized CDC that we have today. So I'm going to quote from their press release. Sex can be very important for mental, social, and physical well-being. It is a part of everyday life. People can, will, and should continue to have sex during the COVID-19 pandemic. Messages that discourage or shame people from sexual contact can be harmful and may discourage people from seeking essential sexual health services. You are your safest sex partner. Masturbating by yourself, solo sex, will not spread COVID-19. If you masturbate with a partner, or partners, physical distancing will lower your chance of getting COVID-19. Here are some ways to lower the risk of being exposed to COVID-19 during sex with others. Wear a face covering or mask. Heavy breathing during sex can create more droplets that may transmit COVID-19. Avoid or limit kissing and saliva exchange. Choose sexual positions that limit face-to-face contact. Use barriers like walls, e.g., glory holes that allow for sexual contact but prevent close face-to-face contact. That's pretty good, solid sexual advice under the strange, bizarre conditions we now live under, but it's not advice I think we'd ever get from any of the authorities in the United States, because that's just where we are, and it's kind of sad. When we talk about science, we need to include mental health, and there clearly is not enough mental health going on in the United States. It's not emphasized enough, and we have a lot of mental health issues going on right now. Our president is the most mentally unhealthy of any president in our history, but there's other people out there who are also pretty unhealthy. And we don't have any way of screening them, but they're still out there making public statements and pronouncements that are not really legitimate or rational, because it's coming from their illness, but people still listen to them. Because we don't have a mechanism to really inform people that, no, this guy is crazy. And we need to take that stigma off. But we also need to work harder to get people into treatment. Case in point, there's a man named Kanye West. He is a singer. And he is famous, and he is fabulously wealthy. I don't know why any of those things are true about him, but they are. But he also suffers from some pretty severe mental issues, including a pretty severe bipolar disorder. Now, I have a friend who has bipolar disorder. It's a struggle for her. She has to be on her meds. Unfortunately, Kanye doesn't seem to be on his meds, and he's swinging wildly, as you do with this condition, where you go from one extreme, you know, you're really up high, everything is just amazing, and then down into the depths of depression, or wherever your low takes you. Either swing can be pretty unpleasant for the people around you, and on those swings where you're up, you can do an awful lot of destructive stuff. It's not really very rational. So, during this episode, Kanye West has decided he's going to run for president. Does that make any sense at all? No. Some people think it's strategic, that he's really doing this to draw black voters away from Joe Biden, to help President Trump, of whom he is sometimes a super fan. Now, Kanye is also a significant misogynist, and he decided to talk about rape and pregnancy in his presidential launch. He's also become very, very religious, but in the sort of way that people who suffer from mental conditions do, where it's very, very extreme and very, very irrational. So in his speech, he went on a rant about abortion. He said that he got his girlfriend pregnant and that God told him to have the baby. Well, it was your girlfriend who would actually have the baby. Then he said, my dad wanted to abort me, and then began crying on the stage, and then he sobbed, I almost killed my daughter. He said, they're going to run this and try to tell you the world is crazy. That doesn't make any sense, and I don't think it does any good to be throwing out the you're crazy Kanye stuff. He has mental health issues. He needs help. His family has been trying to get him help, but he doesn't seem to be too interested in that. So in the speech, he went on to promise that any woman who can't afford to have a child if she's pregnant will be given $50,000 a year if they don't have an abortion. In his, well, more rant than speech, he said that former Apple CEO Steve Jobs was a Nazi. Well, he wasn't a very nice man, but I don't think he was a Nazi. He trashed his ex-girlfriend Amber Rose, which, yeah, you're running for president. First thing you want to do is trash your ex-girlfriends. He went on more about abortion. He then turned that around and said it should be legal, which is kind of surprising. He said in 2020, abortion should be legal, but the option of maximum increase should be available. That's coded speak, I guess, for giving women money to have a baby. And then in a very Trumpian moment, he basically said that women should get $1 million if she's worth less than $5 million, and that Africa would fund the whole thing. Africa. I'm guessing he's restricting that to black women? I'm not sure. And then he went on a rant about opposing emergency contraceptives. But here's the problem. Giving someone access to the media who has such severe mental health issues, where the things that he's saying, they don't make any sense. They don't even make sense to him. He's not mentally sound. It isn't good for him to give him a platform. And it's certainly dangerous when people listen to someone thinking that they might be saying something of value when it's just coming out of severe mental illness. I think the same thing is true with the president. We need to focus more on when someone is just really mentally not quite there. And Kanye and Trump are very similar. They both have incredible narcissism, and they both have severe mental health issues. And they're both huge misogynists. It's not surprising that they get along so well. But the real question is, how do we deal with people going into politics? And not that Kanye West is really seriously going into politics. That's just the bipolar talking. I don't think that he is a threat, but certainly someone like Donald Trump is. How do we deal with that? Do we just let completely crazy people run for office? Or do we do some health screening? Make sure that they're healthy enough and sane enough to run for office. And I have no idea how we would do that without making a lot of people very, very uncomfortable. But it is a problem. It's an issue. People like Kanye West and Donald Trump are severely, severely mentally ill. And they both have a great deal of power. Donald Trump so much more. People running for high office need to have mental health screenings.